Proverbs in chapter 2. And before we begin tonight, Brother Vince, if you would pray for us, please. Yes, Lord. Yes.
Thank you, God, for the young children. God, we pray for the teachers downstairs. If they will
yes.
Heart, God, that you'll deal with them and touch Brother Lee tonight. God,
help us, Lord.
We've seen where he's studied and prepared. We pray, God, that you'll speak through him to touch our hearts. No, God, we lift our pastor up tonight the way preaching. Give him a great move of God in his life and help our church to grow and prosper.
Jesus.
Amen.
We have a part in our Christian walk. Everything's not just left up to the Lord, though the Lord is our Heavenly Father, and He is in charge of everything, but we have a part. It's just like our salvation. Jesus told Nicodemus, said, you must be born again. Nicodemus had a part in that second birth. God calls us through the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost convicts and convinces of sin. God draws us through His Son with cords of love to an altar of repentance. But if we sit there and we don't respond to that call, then we lose our part and we lose our soul. So there's a part in everything that we do for our part along with what the Lord would have us to do. Here looking in chapter 2, he starts out reading, he said, my son. And let me say something right here and stuff. There was a guy, I remember one time, he was best I can remember, he was a preacher. And this man had told him, he said, I read the Bible, but I don't get anything out of it. He was a lost man. He said, I try, I really do, I try. He said, but I just don't understand it. And the preacher said, well, let me tell you this with love in my heart. Said, you can't understand it because you're reading somebody else's mail. That was God's Bible or God's book, God's letter to His people. And in order for you to understand it, you have to have spiritual guidance. And that's in the Holy Ghost. And that's in everything. And we're going to be looking right here. First of all, it said, my son. So the Bible's writing here to God's children. All the way through. It's always to God's people. He said, my son. And listen now. He said, if. Talking about our part. He said, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. He's saying right here. He said, if thou wilt receive my words. It's sort of like Mr. DeHaven, the old boss, told me that time. He said, will you be quiet long enough for me to help you? He was asking me a question. And here he's putting this. He said, if thou wilt. You've got an option. You've got a choice there. He said, thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Now, when he's talking about hiding your commandments, he's not talking about putting them in your pocket and forgetting about them being there. He's talking about hiding them in your heart. So if those commandments and those words can come back up again and help you in this walk of life that we're in. Because we are in a warfare every day that we live. And we're still talking about the wisdom of God here. He said, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine heart or thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Now I said before, we've got these holes in our head called ears for more than just letting the whistle of the wind blow through. They're for hearing. But we hear with our ears, but what do we do with what we hear? I've always said we listened with our heart. And our heart tells us what we're going to do and what we need to do if we pay attention. So he's done started here now, and this is one of those formulas that I talked about, or if you want to call it a recipe. It's sort of like used to Saturday morning, my mama was always in the kitchen cooking. Now, if you went in there, it's hard to believe about my mama, but she would have stuff strolled from one part of the cabinet to the other, all the way around, and it would look like a big mess, but the end results was wonderful. And that's what it is in God's Word. If we will listen to God's Word, if we will follow what God tells us to do, the end result is going to be wonderful, people. It's going to be a lot better than what the world has got to offer. I'm telling you, it's going to be a lot better. The Bible says that if thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, if you just listen to the wisdom of God, and then apply thine heart to understanding. Another part of this recipe, that if you will apply your heart to understanding that wisdom, you can have all the wisdom in the world and stuff, but if you don't understand any of it, it's not very good to you. It's not worth a whole lot. He said, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding. So now we've got scriptures here, one right behind the other, telling us what we need to do. Telling us what we need to do. He said, if thou criest after knowledge. And I said this as a small child. Well, I can only speak after my childhood. I can't speak after yours. I don't know how you were. But if we went to the store with Mama, which wasn't very often because we didn't go to town very much, they was ashamed of me. And so they didn't get me out a whole lot. But when we did go, if there's something I saw that I liked, I wanted it. And if the answer was the wrong answer, which was no, I'd prim up, pout. And if it promoted it a little bit better, I'd cry. You understand what the scripture is saying here? He said, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. You know what? I'd do a little crying. I'd lift my voice up too. Now, sometimes that was a bad thing. Sometimes I'd got one across the lip instead of getting what you wanted. But listen to what the Bible says. If thou criest after knowledge, because if you're crying after something, you're wanting it pretty bad. You're wanting it pretty bad. I want to be something different than what I am. That's what you're telling the Lord. I want to be something different. I want to be something that you can use. And that's what God's children need to do. They need to tell God, I want to be a servant. I want to serve you, Lord. I want to please you, Lord. I want to do what you would have me to do. So if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure. Now, we look at that right there. Now, if somebody living in Bowden, rumor had got out there was an old lot in Bowden, and somebody had buried $25 million on it, and the lot didn't belong to anybody, they'd be people out there scratching and digging. They'd be looking for that. How important is God to you in your life? I'm asking you that as a Christian, seriously, how important is God to you? In this old world that we live in, how important is God? Because what he's saying right here, he said if you really want wisdom, if you really want it, you're going to seek after her as silver, you're going to search for her as hid treasure, you're going to dig for it. You're going to dig for it. I've said this before, I say it again. I need the wisdom of the Lord to live and operate in this old world. I can't operate in this world on man's wisdom, because man's wisdom is pretty poor. If you just look around you, if you just listen to some things that are said, I mean, seriously. And I'm not talking about listening to things that people are said so that we might ridicule them. I think it's too much of this finger pointing goes on as it is and stuff with somebody else. Well, I wish you'd listen how dumb they are. You think that might have been the reason the Bible said in the book of James, be swift to hear and slow to speak? That you might not give off your ignorance? You know, the Bible says pray without ceasing. I think it's necessary that we go through our lives on a daily basis, all day long, praying with a prayer on our heart, with a prayer on our lips. Everything we're doing all day long, praying, say, Lord, watch after me. See after me. Help me, Lord. Help me. Whatever comes up, help me to be what you would have me to be. Help me to be a servant in that circumstance. Help me to be a light in that circumstance. Help me to point someone to Jesus. Help me to do that, Lord. Help me. Now listen to what the Bible says. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures. Now listen to what the Bible says. Now it said here, if thou will receive my words, hide my commandments, incline thine ear unto wisdom, apply thine heart to understanding. If thou criest after knowledge, liftest up the voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasure. Now there's your recipe and here's your end result. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Now it didn't say you might, it didn't say you could. It said then, what thou shalt understand of the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. God is going to answer that prayer. That's what we've been looking at in the book of James. The Bible said in the book of James, if any man lacks knowledge, let him ask of God to giveth liberally to all men. God wants you to have a God-like wisdom. Not a wisdom of this old world, but a God-like wisdom. What did the Bible say over here? In the book of first, in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, it said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Listen to what the Bible says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, then this world is in a mess, people, because there is no fear of the Lord. You look around at what goes on around you in the daytime while you out operating on a job or whatever the case may be, or if you've got the news on, listen to what's going on around you, and there is no fear of the Lord. Well, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If there's no fear of the Lord, then there is no knowledge. What have we got to work with? I mean, what have we got to work with? This old world is in a mess. Listen to this. Now there's a continuation on to that part right there. It said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Have you ever seen so many people that couldn't be talked to? Couldn't be reasoned with? Their mind is set a certain way, and there's nothing wrong with that. My mind is set toward the Lord. My mind is set toward His Son who died on an old rugged cross. You can talk to me all day long, you're going to find me unreasonable, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me, and there is no other way. You won't call that out to me and to explain to me that any different, because there is no other way. It was one way. It was an old rugged cross. It was the shed blood, Brother David, that was on that old rugged cross. It was a father who couldn't look on his son because all he could see was the sins that was hanging upon him. And those sins were my sins, your sins and stuff. That is what was on the Lord. Now there's all right being said in your mind in a certain way. And that certain way is the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God does not teach me to hate anyone. But it teaches me to love all. To reach out to everyone when I see someone that's got that kind of spirit, as the Bible says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. It makes me want to pray for them that God would save their souls. Because I'm going to tell you something about the saving of the souls. When you have the saving of the souls, you'll see a change in the person, in the way they think, in the way they act, in the way they do. Thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Listen to what the Bible said. The Lord giveth wisdom. Giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. Listen to what the Bible says. He layeth up. You know, when somebody lays something up, you know what they're doing? They're just piling it up. They're piling it up. It's a shame to have the wisdom of God just piled up and for us not to seek after it. Not to seek after the wisdom of God to help us in our Christian walk, to help us in our Christian life. The Bible says he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. And he is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. And that buckler, I looked that up, that is an ancient shield. An ancient shield. And you know, I thought then, I said, well now, we're looking at the wisdom of God and he's talking about a shield. So a shield is something to protect yourself with. So we must need protecting too. Or else he wouldn't have brought that up. And I got to thinking about that and I got to studying on it. Let's go to the book of Ephesians. Chapter 6. We'll begin reading with verse 10. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Listen to what the Bible says, against the wiles of the devil. We're, as I said earlier, we're in a warfare. And this warfare is more serious than I think that this Laodicean church realizes. I believe it's more serious because Satan, as I said before, he is a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. But Satan is not scratching at the churches of the door like a lion. He's tiptoeing in. He's tiptoeing in, and he'll start off just a little piece at the back of the church, and he'll nudge him a little room in and sit down beside you at the back of the church. Now, if you don't believe this and stuff, you think about it. You think about it. Now, I was born in 1956. Now, the roughest thing on TV in 1956 was the Lone Ranger. And I'm going to tell you something about the Lone Ranger. Hopalong Cassidy and things like that right there. Episode after episode and stuff, the Bible was mentioned in those episodes. Now, I'm not hooraying Hollywood. Don't misunderstand me. I'm telling you, it was a different time. Hopalong Cassidy, at the end of his show, he would remind young children, he said, don't forget to go to Sunday school Sunday. Could you see some kind of TV show today doing that? I mean, really, I'm asking you, could you see that today? Somebody at the end of the show, one of the heroes on the show, don't forget to go to Sunday school Sunday. How many kids would sit in front of that TV right there and what is Sunday school? I mean, seriously, what is Sunday school? They wouldn't have a clue. They wouldn't know. And I said, Satan is tiptoeing in and stuff, and he's bringing things in with him if you don't watch him. Because the Lord was talking about the Laodicean church. And let me tell you one thing I noticed about the Laodicean church. Part of that scripture in Revelation says what? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, I'm going to tell you something, church. That's Jesus talking. Now, which side of the door do you knock on? You knock on the outside. So now you think about that for just a minute and stuff. In the day and time that we're living in, and I say that this warfare that we're in is more serious than we can recognize or begin to think about. It is a very, very, very serious thing. Brother Ken is always preaching about children behind us, coming in behind us and having a church to go to. And he talks about it's worth fighting for them to have that church. Because I'm going to tell you something, a church is not a social hall. A church is not a gathering place for a bunch of people to get together and say, well, I belong to this group right here. See, that's what I talk about. If you want to belong to a group, belong to the right group, belong to the Lord. Belong to the Lord. Say, I'm one of His children. Stand up and tell this old world in no uncertain terms. I'm one of His children. I don't belong. And I'm going to tell you something about serving the Lord. If you truly serve the Lord, they'll tell you, the world will tell you something's wrong with you, or you don't belong to Him. They'll sure tell you that you don't belong to Him. Something is wrong with you. Yeah, something's wrong. Something's wrong. There was a touch from heaven. There was a touch from heaven that changed me from this wretched man that I am. To a stranger and a pilgrim in this old world, looking for the other side, because see, I'm not home down here. I don't belong down here. You're right, I'm passing through. And just let me tell you about the Lord. Let me be a signpost that you can say, because I'm going to tell you something. We talk about the road that goes to hell and being a broad road. A broad road, but I'm going to tell you something about that broad road that the Heavenly Father stood across, an old rugged cross right in the middle of that broad road. And for you to go to hell, you got to go around that cross. You got to go around that cross. But He made a way for you that you didn't have to go to hell. Bible says, put on the whole armor of God. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now listen. Say, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Alright, we're not struggling with flesh and blood. Alright, now we got people in this world. Listen, is there somebody in the world, Brother Tim, now you work with the public and stuff. Do you have certain people? Remember, you're under oath too now. Don't perjure yourself in here because I'll have you brought up. But are there certain people you can see maybe coming through the door that you want to shudder and draw up at? I said, oh me. I'm going to run to the back and let somebody else wait on them. I'll do that right now. See, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. The Bible tells us We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. That's not our problem. Though we have people that disagree with us and struggle against us and stuff in this old world, it's going to be that way and stuff. They're going to talk to us. They're going to talk down to us. The Bible's already said that. Jesus said the servant, not greater than the Lord, because what happens to you has already happened to me. So they're going to talk about you and they're going to talk you down. That's all right. Just love them and pray for them and go right on. Keep on loving with them. Tell them, said, the Lord loves you. I had a guy used to at work and stuff back years ago. He'd tell me I would swap work from one point to another. And every time I'd go by him, he'd say, I hate you, Lee. And I'd tell him, I said, well, I love you, Joe. And you know that would tear him up. It'd tear him up. He couldn't hardly stand it. He said, no, you don't love me. I said, yes, I do. He said, I love you in the Lord, Joe. I said, I love you in the Lord. You know what? The old boy got saved. The old boy got saved. But the Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And I looked that word up. But I'm sorry, slow. So I like to see just exactly what things mean and stuff. And it said, the territory of a prince. A country where he derives his title, royal estate, and supreme power. Now I want you to listen to what it said about that. It said, a territory of a prince. Has the devil got any territory in the area that you live in? Think about that now. Now the Lord has his servants. Satan has his. In this old world is the devil's territory, people. Now, if you don't believe that, you think about when he tempted Jesus. What did the Bible say? The Bible said he took him up in a mountain. It said he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a flash. And he said, all these things right here I'll give to you because they're mine to give for whomsoever I will. So that sort of tells me if everything in this old world, the kingdoms and all that, is the devil's to give. And that's in Luke. Now if you want to read it, it's in Luke. Then he's the prince of this old world. He has a royal estate. Now he's not my God. Now I'm not his servant. But I live in his territory. I live in his territory. If you don't believe that, just look around you now. Watch around you. So we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're wrestling against something that we're not even compared or able to wrestle against. Because we don't have the strength. Because when you are tempted or tried, when you are tempted, what are you tempted with? Are you tempted with a strength that's in this old flesh of yours? Or is it a weakness that's in this old flesh? I've never been tempted in a weakness, Brother David. It's always been a weakness of my old flesh that I was tempted in. I mean, the devil would show me something. I wouldn't even listen. I wouldn't even be looking for it. So if you don't believe that the devil's got territories and stuff, so just start paying attention to what's going on around you sometimes. Because what he'll do is he'll bring something to your eyes that appeals to your old flesh. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews in chapter 12, it says, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Now listen to what the Bible says. It says, let us lay aside every weight. Every weight. That's more than one. And it said, and the sin. Didn't say sins. But it said, the sin which doth so easily beset us. I believe that the devil, now I say this and stuff, you know, and I base what I say on the scriptures. We're wrestling and struggling against something that we don't even understand. We think about it in the terms of good and bad, but it's more than that right there. I'm going to tell you something, it's more than that. Satan is more than bad. And I believe that my God is more than good, as I understand it. Now, I'm just telling you that now, that he's more than good as I understand it. As I understand goodness, I don't have an inkling of a way to think about how good God is. But the Bible, when it's talking about the weights and the sin, what I teach, I base on what I read in the Scripture. And I don't believe that the devil knows everything. If the devil knew everything, then why would he have told God what he did about Job? See, if you take everything away from him, he'll cuss you to your face. And the Lord told him, said, well, go ahead. He said, I'm going to let the hedge down. He said, you go on in. He said, don't take his life. It didn't work out the way the devil said it would, did it? Because Job didn't do that. Job stayed faithful to the Lord. So I don't believe that the devil knows what is the worst weakness in your flesh until he tempts you with it and finds out that that's where you're easy to stumble at. And then once he gets you to stumbling, he likes to keep you stumbling. Because what you wind up having to do is you can't overcome that weakness in your flesh yourself. You know why? Because it's not a strength. It's a weakness. Brother Mike, I've heard you talk before about drinking. And drinking was a terrible thing with you. With me, you could lock me in a liquor shop all night long and ain't nothing going to be bothered because it don't faze me one bit in the world. But I've got something else in my life, Brother Mike, that has fazed me and troubled me since I was a young teenager, since I was a young man. And the devil has constantly, through my life, year after year after year, tempted, somehow, some way, I'd stumble along. There'd been times in my life when I've got out of church, throw the towel in, I quit, I've had enough of it, and I'd get out in the world. Well, now, I'm not trying to do wrong, I'm not looking to do wrong. But when you say, I quit, that's the thing for the devil to tiptoe in again, a little bit further. And I won't never forget this particular one time that I said I was through in church, I quit. That Monday at work, that thing that troubled me so bad was on every corner that I turned to. You hear what I'm telling you? It was on every corner that I turned. Because that's what the devil wants. He wants you to quit. That's the reason the Bible says we're at a warfare. We are at a warfare, and you've got to realize how terrible that warfare is. There's not a person here that the devil doesn't want to destroy. Do you believe that Satan wants you sitting in this church house on a Wednesday night? I can tell you no right off the bat. How dare you be in church on a Wednesday night when you could be laid up on the couch at home? No reason for you to go to church. Ain't going to do you no good. That's what he wants to tell you. I mean, that's what he does tell you. There's other things you can be doing. Said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Now the Lord wants us to stand. He wants us to take a stand. He don't want us to sit down and ride. So if something comes along in the church, or if the Lord lays something on your heart to do, do what the Lord tells you to do. It said, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. He said, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. What is truth? What is truth? Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. People, I've shared this with you before and stuff, they'll come in the store. I'll speak to them. Good morning, you all right today? Doing good? What you know good? Lee, I said, Jesus, the only thing I know good. I've had some good compliments about that, and I've had some bad ones. Goes with the thing, you know, and stuff. It's just the way it is. People are going to, they say, well, you, I agree with you and stuff. You know, I try to talk to people. I try to work the Lord in, and sometimes, you know, it's a good thing. Sometimes, and stuff, people don't want to hear it. I was talking to a guy the other day. He said, we had a shower of rain. He said, I sure was glad to see the rain. I thought, well, that's an opportunity for me. I said, yes, sir. I said, I thank the good Lord for the rain we got. I said, he's mighty good to send it to us. He said, you know, you're absolutely right. He said, so many times we don't want to talk about the Lord and what the Lord's done for us. So, see, that was a good thing. He was already a Christian. I was trying to make a sale there and stuff, but he was already in it. But that's what we need to do. When the opportunity presents itself, be a Christian. Be a witness. Talk to them about the Lord. You ain't got to chase them down with a baseball bat and say, now, you're going to listen to me. I heard Archie Bunker say one time, he told Edith. He said, what do you think those missionaries do? He said, they grab those natives out of the trees. He said, they carry them down to the river. He said, they hold their head under the water till they see the light. And so it's not like that. It's not like that. But the Bible says for us to stand, having your loins girt about with truth, and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod, listen now, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You're going to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So you need to put some feet on that witnessing. Put some feet on that witnessing and stuff. You know, and say, oh, I dread going in here and stuff. He's a Christian. He get on my nerves so bad I can't hardly stand it. I just go in right quick and get my stuff and get out. But the Bible says above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And we was reading a while ago that the Lord was a buckler to those who walk uprightly. He is an ancient shield. And it says right here, it says, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Listen to what the Bible says. I'm going to read that again. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The Bible's telling us for us to pray for one another right there. To pray one for another with all perseverance and supplication. I appreciate your attention, Brother Mike. I'm going to stop right there.